Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. It's not the best day to be talking about the Red Sox. The ship is sinking. Things are happening in the wrong direction if you're a Red Sox fan. We are watching some bad baseball all of a sudden. So it's gonna. I can't promise you it's going to be a happy show today. It's not going to be. There's going to be a lot of serious talk about how this team has fallen apart. Matt Barnes blew another one on Tuesday night. The playoff odds are sinking. It's not over by any means, but there's a lot to dissect, so we're going to get into that today. I'm Jason Mastrodonato from the Boston Herald, as always joined by my co-host Lauren Campbell from Nesson. We are brought to you by Spotify Green Room. You can download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of the Locked On rooms. So the Red Sox are up 4-1. On the Tampa Bay Rays in a huge, huge series. Like, I don't think it would be wrong to say if they don't win this series, they're not going to win the division this year. Would I?
No, I think that's fair. I think that this series is incredibly important, and it's not off to a good start right now.
So they got three games this week with the Rays. They got Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound Tuesday night. He really pitched well. 8 strikeouts. The guy's like striking out everybody in his last 9 starts. He's got 61 strikeouts and 43 innings. So, I mean, Erod's back. If you're looking for something to take away in a positive way, Erod certainly has looked good. They needed that. Hirokazu Sawamura comes back, pitches well. They needed that because 2 nights ago he had looked like his arm was in big trouble. He walked off the mound clutching his elbow on Sunday night. Garrett Whitlock did not look great, but the fact that they're using him 2 out of 4 days and letting him go 40 pitches, I thought was great. And he had a really cool reason of why he thought he didn't pitch well. Did you hear him in the post game?
I did not. Enlighten us.
So he said he listened to Xander Bogaerts. At one point, he got a ground ball. And Bogaerts is notorious for, like, seeing the game really well and going up to pitchers and telling them what to do in the middle of the game. And he said he went to get the ball from Bogaerts in the middle of his outing, and Bogaerts said, dude, they're ambushing fastballs all game. They're ambushing fastballs. You got to mix it up more. And he did, and then Whitlock ended up pitching the 8th inning pretty well, but he had already given up a couple runs. It was the first time he'd given up multiple runs since May 13th. I mean, the guy's been sensational. We know that. So Whitlock gives up a couple runs. The Rays tie it, and it's a tie game going to Matt Barnes, and gosh, Lauren, I mean, what were you thinking at that point?
I was speechless. I don't know what to say. I saw the lead. I was like, all right, I'm comfortable with what's going on right now, and then I took my dog outside, and it's 4-4, and then all of a sudden, it's 8-4, and things just fell apart. So it's, I don't even know what to make of it anymore, just because the fall from grace has not been pretty. It's been fast, and it's just been really ugly.
So Matt Barnes comes in the game at this point. Are you confident? Are you not confident?
I'm more less confident than very confident.
Like, out of 10, what was your confidence level in Matt Barnes on Tuesday night?
Oh, like 5.5.
Okay, yeah, I'd say I'd say that's about right, because this is really, and you and I have to say, we're all over this since the All-Star game, where he looked so bad in the All-Star game. We were talking about it that night, about, you know, what's going on. I mean, it's just the All-Star game. No one's really trying. I ended up talking to Barnes after, and he said, you know, I was trying, but, you know, I was just trying to have fun, so we didn't read too much into it. But really, it's been since the All-Star break that Barnes has not been great. His strikeout rate has basically been eviscerated since the All-Star break. He's got 7 strikeouts. That can't be right. No, he had 2 strikeouts on Tuesday night. He has 9 strikeouts.
Oh my God.
In 10 games since the All-Star break. This was a guy who was striking out half the batters he was facing early in the season. So whatever is going on with Matt Barnes, the Red Sox are in trouble. I mean, what are you seeing when you watch him pitch? Is there anything that has come to mind for you of what's going on with him?
he just doesn't look confident in his stuff. He's just, I don't know if it's mental fatigue, physical fatigue. I don't know what it is, but he does not have the confidence that he had 2 months ago.
Yeah, I would say confidence certainly seems to be a part of it. He doesn't seem to know what to throw. I mean, he's not really locating his fastball right now, which basically makes him have to throw his curveball on counts where he might not even throw it. And his curveball does not look good. I mean, the spin rate. So this is the concerning thing is we have to talk about spin rates because that's just, unfortunately, the state of baseball that we're in. When you change the rules in the middle of the season, this happens. So we are looking at the spin rates of Matt Barnes' curveball, which is really his go-to pitch, right? I mean, that's his nasty pitch. It's his bread and butter. And I'm looking at the series in June, early June, against the Yankees because that was a big, intense series. He pitched three games in a row, and all three games his spin rate on his curveball was 2250 about rotations per minute, I think it is. I don't even remember what the term, I think it's rotations per minute. So 2250 was what he was doing in early June when he's striking everybody out, and now, and really most recently, he's at about 2050. So it's gone down about 10%, and 10% maybe doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're watching his curveball, to me it just doesn't seem like it's doing as much. And the game-winning hit really was a curveball that didn't move to the Rays' backup catcher Francisco Mejia with the bases loaded, two outs. All I need to do is get this guy out, and it was a curveball that just didn't move. It was like the flattest curve I've ever seen Matt Barnes throw, and the guy hits it into right field, three-run score, game over. I mean, you know, do you feel like, are you concerned that Matt Barnes is going back to the Matt Barnes he used to be?
Yeah, I am, and it's hard for me to say that because he's been so confident and so good all season. But after that All-Star game, it's just been really bad, and it's been like the Matt Barnes that we've seen in 2020 and 2019. And it's been really ugly the last few games in particular. But like I said, I don't know if this is just fatigue. I don't know if it's maybe this was just, he was just really good for so long and he could only do that for so long. I don't know.
So, but yep, go ahead.
It's ugly. It's just really ugly to watch right now.
No, I think you're right about the fatigue thing. And that's what Alex Cora said after the game is he blamed himself. He said, you know, I got to take care of this guy because Barnes pitched in both games of the doubleheader Saturday. I mean, granted, he threw one pitch in game one, but still, he warmed up. He had to warm his body up. He only threw one pitch, semi and homer. The game was over. That was loss number one that he has in 4 days. I'm not sure I've ever seen a closer take three losses in 4 days, but that's what just happened. So he comes back on Saturday night, and the second part of the doubleheader pitches again, gets the save. Comes back on Sunday, has a really good battle with George Springer, and then loses the battle, three-run homer, Blue Jays win again, Matt Barnes gets the loss again, he's off on Monday, comes back Tuesday, gets the loss again, so he's got three losses in 4 days, so it certainly could be a fatigue issue, and if you look at Barnes's career, this is not unusual. Over his career in the first half, he's got a 3.44 ERA, in the second half, he's got a 4.66 ERA. The OPS against him goes up about 80 points from the first half to the second half. So it certainly could be a fatigue issue with him that he's just tired. I mean, what do you do with him at this point?
I don't know. Like, what can you do with him? You've already extended him. Like, do you rest him? Like, do you just not put him in for the next three or four games? Do you rely on people like Martin Perez, Garrett Whitlock, Adam Ottavino? Like, I don't know what you do because there's not really a solid backup person that the Red Sox can go to or that they can rely on to go into games and save these games or keep the games close.
Yep, we're going to keep talking about this and a lot more coming up. First, let's tell you about Spotify Green Room. This episode is brought to you by The Green Room, the first social audio platform made for sports fans. It's free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join the conversation about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors or when your team slides 8 games in the standings in 2 weeks. You can even find Locked On hosts across all the sports. If you download the free Green Room app now, it's currently available on all iOS devices. You create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group for the latest league updates. You'll find a lot of incredible rooms around your favorite teams, so check out the Green Room app today, changing the way we talk sports. All right, if it's not Matt Barnes closing games, I don't know who it is. I mean, the Red Sox are screwed. I don't really know how else to say it, because this guy has been there everything when it comes to finishing games. When they're winning in the eighth, the game's over. I mean, he saved 14 of his first 15 games this year. He was the confidence you need in a closer to know, hey, we just got to get one. If we can just get one run and have a one-run lead going in the ninth, we're good. Now, all of a sudden, you're looking at it like, are we good? I mean, Barnes is exhausted. You know, Ottavino's not exactly been dominant either. I mean, this is a guy who has struggled quite a bit of late. Ottavino's allowed 8 runs in his last 7 innings. Josh Taylor has been better, but not great since his streak ended. He's looked a little bit more normal, I guess we'd say. Still a great pitcher. I think you feel good about Josh Taylor. Maybe Josh Taylor is where you go right now. Maybe he's their best reliever. Maybe you start closing games with Josh Taylor, because I don't think there's any question, Lauren, that the next time the Red Sox get a save opportunity, it's not going to be Matt Barnes.
It's just so scary to think that Josh Taylor will be the one going in to save games potentially, because, I mean, like you said, who else do you go to? You're not going to go to Ottavino. You're not going to go to Garrett Whitlock. And you're not going to go to Martin Perez. It's who do you trust? And I think this speaks volumes of what the Red Sox did or did not do at the trade deadline. They so desperately needed that relief help, and they could really use that right now.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I mean, if they were looking at the same numbers we are with Barnes's curveball, you know, they should have known that his curveball wasn't spinning the way it once was, that they were going to have some issues here, that maybe they needed to add a reliever, not Hansel Robles and Austin Davis, but maybe a good reliever, maybe a good starter. You know, I mean, it really is remarkable the last 2 weeks to see every hole on this team just suddenly reveal itself, and holes we didn't even know existed, like Matt Barnes. I mean, we paid a little bit of attention to what he was doing in the second half, but it wasn't too much of a problem until the last week. And now all of a sudden it's like the holes are everywhere. You know, I think Adam Ottavino is probably going to be the guy that Cora goes to. He seems to really trust him. You know, I don't trust him. He walks too many guys. If his slider's not on, he's really not effective. You know, Sawamura, if he's healthy, he's got closer experience in Japan. You know, Josh Taylor, if there's some lefties in there, he's great against lefties. Whitlock, obviously, they like him in a multi-inning role. But I don't know where else you go here. And it's not like there's somebody in AAA just waiting to call up to help your bullpen. There's nobody. I mean, this is the team. They have to figure it out with this roster.
It's bad. It's really bad. And it's, like you said, there's holes that are getting exposed that we didn't even know that there were holes there. And this kind of goes back to me, you know, I was just joking around one of our first episodes where I was like, oh, they should bring back Craig Kimbrell and have Matt Barnes be the setup guy. And I was like, that doesn't really sound that crazy after all.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't. What a different team they would be if they had Craig Kimbrell right now. Instead, it's the White Sox who got him and everybody else. And oh my goodness, I mean, it's like crazy to even think. A week and a half ago, we were talking, could the Red Sox compete with the White Sox and the Astros? Now it's like, can the Red Sox compete with anybody? Can they compete with the Blue Jays? I mean, can they, you know, how drastic have your expectations changed for this team in the last 11 days?
A lot, because it went from, oh, I'm not too worried because they're a good team, to they're still a good team, but the issue is the Blue Jays, the Yankees, the White Sox, everyone around them made themselves better. And the Red Sox just stayed themselves. They were content with what they had. And hey, that's fine, but they're seeing exactly what happens when they don't improve themselves in the areas they needed to improve upon. So my expectations went from like, oh yeah, this is like it's sustainable, to oh my God, SOS, 911, I need help. I have several emergencies every other day because this team just sucks.
Wow. They suck, according to Lauren. Do you think, like, where do you see them going here? I mean, are they still a playoff team?
I do think they're a playoff team. I do think that they haven't had a serious slump like this all season. So it was bound to happen at some point. It's just, it's crappy that it's happening so late in the season, where even though there's still plenty of baseball, there's 46 games left, there's plenty of time to turn it around. They don't have that cushion. And I do think they're a playoff team. I certainly don't think they're the top AL East team anymore. I don't think I ever really had that expectation for them, but I do still think they could get that or stay in the number two spot. But they have to start winning games. They have to start closing out games. The offense is doing what it should. The starting pitching the last two games, three games, have given you what they need to do. Just a matter of closing it out. And it sounds simple, and it should be that simple. All Matt Barnes had to do today was close out the game, and he couldn't do it. So that's all it is. It's just a matter of closing out these games and in easy fashion. Like, stop making it difficult.
If you had asked me today if I thought the Red Sox were going to make the playoffs, I would say no. I do not.
Boy.
I do not think they're going to make the playoffs. I think we just saw a Blue Jays team that looks way more energized than this Red Sox team that picked up some key additions in the last month, that has George Springer off the injured list looking like a dangerous player that he is. They're back in Toronto again, where the Rogers Center, really an underrated home stadium. I think the Blue Jays always play well there. The Blue Jays scare me, you know, probably more than the Yankees do, because they've got an MVP candidate, Vlad Guerrero. They've got Bo Bichette, who I think one day will win an MVP. George Springer's been an MVP candidate before, and they've got some young pitching that is just really tough to hit. I'm scared of the Blue Jays, and it's not – I mean, they're coming from all angles here. I mean, the A's went up a game now on the Red Sox for the wild card game.
Yep.
If the playoffs ended today, the A's would be hosting the Red Sox. The Yankees, again, don't really scare me a ton, but they did get a lot better at the trade deadline. I just don't know, if you're the Red Sox, how you hold these guys off. Like, what do you see as a positive from here? Where are they going? How are they going to survive? Like, what are you taking away from this team that says, I still think they're going to make the playoffs?
I still have confidence in this offense. I mean, they're still finding ways to take leads, to be exciting. Hunter Renfroe is still continuing to come in clutch. And I know Alex Verdugo won't come back and save this team from his paternity leave, but he'll certainly add some spark there. There's optimism around Chris Sale returning to add that kind of spark that they so desperately need. But I'm still, the last two games in particular, I still like this offense. I still like what I've seen. And it's still, I know that pitching wins games at the end of the day. I mean, they put up seven runs the other day and they couldn't win. So at the end of the day, the offense is still giving me reason to be optimistic and not write this team off completely, but they can't do it all. They can't score 7-8 runs every single night.
Yeah, they can't. And I will say the offense the last couple nights has looked better. Sunday, they look much better. Tuesday, they looked okay. They're just, something's wrong with Bogarts. I haven't seen Bogarts take swings this bad in a while. He's fouling off pitches he usually hammers. You know, he's taken bad approaches in key spots in the game. I think him and JD in the fifth inning both had a chance to really make something happen with a couple guys on base, and neither one of them got it done. I think that's the issue right now, is that Bogarts is a little off, and JD's been in a slump. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, he had a home run two nights ago, was it? It was a week ago now in Detroit. These games are all blending together. He had the four-hit night. He had the four-hit night on Sunday when he came back, two doubles and two singles. Otherwise, JD's kind of been in a slump as well. If Bogarts isn't going, I think this whole lineup changes. And they just haven't had a ton of energy. It's been a while now. They need Schwarber back. They need Schwarber. And, man, do they need Chris Sale. Just the energy of Chris Sale, just having him. I mean, they showed him in the dugout on the Nesson broadcast, and it's like, just him being around has to make a difference, right?
You'd think just the energy he brings, his attitude, and just like that warrior mentality where he hates losing. You don't want to lose when Chris Sale is around. So you'd think that's going to be not necessarily enough, but more to win, whether Bogarts and JD are slumping or not.
Yeah, and you know, if he goes six innings, that's probably fine. Like, they don't need Chris Sale to come out here and throw a shutout. five or six innings, just pitch really well, bring the energy to the ballpark. You know, I think is there ever a time where these players feel better about themselves than when they go take the field in the first inning with Chris Sale on the mound? I mean, it's like you've got the ace. He's back. At this point, it's Chris Sale has to save this team. I just don't see any other way around it. It's Chris Sale or nothing. You know, Eduardo Rodriguez certainly did look better, but this starting rotation has been just mediocre. We don't even know who's going to pitch. And that was kind of an interesting thing before the game of Alex Cora saying, of all these pitching Wednesday, after that, I'm not giving you the rotation. Apparently, we're having an indoor meeting in the locker room on Tuesday to decide what they're going to do with the rotation. What do you think where do they go from here?
I mean, I think Tanner Houck comes up. I think that's, hopefully that's a given. I think Garrett Richards will go to the bullpen. But I mean, if you're trying to figure out your rotation in the middle of August because it's just not working, hasn't really been working all year, that's a major issue. That's a huge red flag. Like, you need to meet with your team and be like, okay, here we go again. This isn't sustainable. We're going to try more people in the bullpen. Hopefully it works. And just kind of, it's like they're throwing spaghetti at the fridge and just hoping it sticks.
Yeah, I don't know what else you'd do other than bring Tanner Houck up, Richards to the bullpen. I mean, the only other option is Connor Siebold has pitched well. I think two starts maybe just one with Worcester. But he struck out, I think, 10. So maybe you say, hey, well, can we catch lightning in a bottle with this guy? But this team is starting to remind me of a different team, and I'll tell you that after the break. But first, did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. I talk about Built Bar all the time on this show. I enjoy eating Built Bars when I'm in a rush, if I've got to take my dog to the dog park and I haven't eaten lunch, which seems to happen every single day. I just go to this little container I have where I keep all my energy bars and just quick snacks, and I grab a Built Bar and I hit the road. It's only 4 or 5 grams of sugar, 17 grams of protein, only 130 and between 130 and 180 calories, and only four or five grams of net carbs. So you're not getting any of the nasty ingredients. You're getting what you need just to give you a little bit of energy to keep you going. If you haven't tried the flavors, you can get the mix box where you get two of each of the 9 different flavors. So order today, use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. So it's Built Bar at built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. We're also supported by Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. I was just looking at the odds to win the wild card, and this was, I'm looking at this from August 10th, which is Tuesday. Red Sox were the favorites to win the American League wild card. A's, Yankees, Blue Jays just behind them. But you can bet on anything you want at Bet Online. They have news, odds, info for all your sporting needs. Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, UFC, MMA, golf, whatever it is, soccer. Before your next game that you're at or watching, go to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out everything they have to offer and get the 50% welcome bonus. So make sure you go to BetOnline. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So usually this is the part of the show where we have our unpopular opinions, but Lauren and I have made the executive decision today that our opinions are all popular. We have no unpopular opinions, and they are that the Red Sox are in big trouble, right?
Correct. There is no other way to put it.
Although you say they're still a playoff team.
I do. I do think they're a playoff team. I'm not hitting the mega panic yet, even though I'm panicking a little.
A little bit. Not the mega panic, a minor panic. I'm swaying towards mega. I'm on, like, if a 5 is the middle, I'm kind of tilting maybe a 4 or 3 towards mega panic, as opposed to if 10 was feeling great about this team. I don't know. I'm there. I'm pretty much there. I think Sale has to save the team, as you said before. I guess the one thing that we haven't really talked about is Eduardo Rodriguez has pitched a lot better. I mean, that does, if you're looking for something to pin your hat on, hey, I mean, the guy's got a 3.5 ERA over his last 9 starts. If you got Erod, if Eovaldi can be better, if Sale's back, if Houck comes back, the rotation can settle things. Maybe E-Rod is the lone piece of positive news from Tuesday night.
Yeah, I mean, I was ready to not write him off, but just wonder what his last couple starts had meant for the future with the Red Sox. And now it's he's kind of pitching his way right back into, hey, I think I deserve an extension with this team. But yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, he did everything right. He did everything he could to win this game. And the bullpen just decided to let him down.
Yeah, I really liked the way he was using his pitches on Tuesday, spotting everything. I mean, he had his cutter on the outside of the part of the plate to righties. Changeup looked great. Fastball got it up to 94, 95, which I don't think we've seen a lot of that from him either. You know, this is a guy who's rested, right? I mean, he didn't pitch at all last year, and so it could go one of two ways in the second half here. We could see a guy like E-Rod flame out because he's exhausted because he didn't pitch last year, or we could see him really start to roll because he's well-rested because he didn't pitch last year. And he's finally getting into a groove. You know, I think he's the guy who can change things for this rotation. Where, you know, Eovaldi seems like he's fallen off a little bit. Maybe he's tired. He kind of carried a big load last year for this team. You know, E-Rod, to me, is a guy that can change things for this rotation. Am I putting too much faith in him?
No. Because before, in 2019, he won 19 games. And I know that was his best season that he's had, but he looked really good in spring training before COVID hit and then before myocarditis and everything. And even this past spring training, he looked really good. So I don't think you're putting too much pressure. Obviously, it's a lot to, you know, go in and be like, hey, this is the guy that we need. But I have reason to believe that he's going to be the number two, maybe number three starter, but number two for sure.
Behind Sale?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, my guy Tanner Houck might still get that one for me, but we'll see.
He'll go number three.
Yeah, they're starting to. It looks like they're starting to just use Houck. I mean, he's like 75 pitches and that's it every game. So maybe he's just the guy who throws three or four innings. Maybe he's not even a starter by the end of the year. I don't know. I don't know why they don't stretch him out and let him run. But I can't rant about Tanner Houck on every show. So we'll hit our final segment. And now this is not going to be easy. This is not going to be easy, but we're going to try to find a positive takeaway because we always end the show on a positive note. I guess I already did mine, which was E-Rod. But, Lauren, what's your positive takeaway?
Mine is Ryan Brazier threw a scoreless inning Tuesday night for the Woo Sox. At one point, it was unclear if he was even going to pitch at all this season after he took a line drive off the head, had the concussion, was dealing with all the after effects of the concussion. But he's really ramped up his throwing and now his rehab and just to come out and throw, even though it was just one inning, sometimes that's all you need is one scoreless inning. And he did that Tuesday, so I'm going to choose that as my positive note.
There you go. I mean, the guy got hit with a line drive and is trying to come back, so it's never easy. You know, it wasn't very good last year. I thought he was pretty bad for most of 2019, but Alex Cora loves this guy. He thinks he's said Brazier was going to be a big part of this bullpen before he got hurt and just hasn't been able to factor into the team this year. So gosh, I mean, if they any bodies right now, they'll take a healthy body at the big league level. So all right, well, that's our show for today. I apologize that it wasn't more happy, but this is what we're working with this Red Sox team right now, just falling apart. Be sure to check back on Thursday. We'll recap Wednesday's game with Eovaldi on the mound, see if the Red Sox finally pull it out or if they lose their seventh in a row against the Tampa Bay Rays and fall to six games back, by far their biggest deficit of the season in the American League East. And if they lose Wednesday, I'm going to just call it. I'm going to say that's it. They're not winning the division this year. They're done on Wednesday. So check back Thursday as we'll talk about what happens then. You could follow me on Twitter at JMasterDonato or read my work in the Boston Herald.
And you can find all my work on Nessim.com and also on Twitter at LaLaLaLauren, three laws, Lauren, four R's. And, of course, the Lockdown Red Sox Twitter at LO_Red Sox.
Yeah, be sure to follow the Twitter accounts. Give us a follow on your Apple podcast or Spotify, wherever it is that you're listening. Leave us a review. Drop us a line. Let us know what you think. We thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. We'll see you on Thursday. The show is brought to you by Locked On Bets. Betting on the Red Sox doesn't have to be a guessing game. Well, right now it's not a guessing game because they just lose. But if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, you can get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.